3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. As I was working on this opening segment, I learned that the Eskimo people, which are more correctly known nowadays as the Inuits, are an indigenous population that is mainly found in the northern parts of Canada and Alaska, and even into eastern Russia. So far, as we have been reading about the reindeer, the Valley of the Good Spirit, and the Inuit people, I kept thinking that we were based in Finland, more specifically in Lapland. But after I did my brief research, I think this story is based mostly in North America. Either way, whether it's North America or Finland, wherever the story is based, we are going to be reading chapters 7 and 8 of The Christmas Reindeer, written by our old friend Thornton W. Burgess. I think that you will be happy when you listen to chapter 8. It brought a smile to my face when I was reading it. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 7, The Great Mill. Never had Tuktu seen so many deer together. Behind her, on both sides, in front of her, all along that hillside, the deer were moving forward. On the farther hillside, countless numbers also were moving toward the head of the valley. They were moving slowly but steadily, as with a purpose. As they drew near the upper end of the valley, Tuktu saw that there was a level plain surrounded by the hills. Out into the middle of this plain moved the great herd of deer. Then it was that Tuktu discovered that young deer and the mothers with the fawns were gradually being pushed to the center. She knew what it meant. She knew that presently that great herd would be milling on that plain. Many times had Tuktu watched the deer mill. She had seen them mill in the great corrals into which they were driven for the yearly counting and earmarking. She had seen them mill when they were grazing, but never had she seen such a mill as this one. Presently, Whitefoot began to trot. He had joined the ring of deer circling the outer edge of the great herd. There was a constant shifting, and Tuktu saw that gradually the biggest and finest of the bucks were working to the outer edge of the herd. From Whitefoot's back, she looked over what was like a forest of dead tree branches, all clashing and tossing as if in a wind. They were the newly grown antlers of the deer, not yet wholly out of the velvet, strips of the brown skin fluttering from them like pennants. Only the fawns were without antlers, for the does among the reindeer have antlers just as do the bucks. It is only in the caribou tribe that this happens in the deer family. Faster and faster trotted the outside ring. More and more quiet became the great mass within the ring. Presently all were still, and only the outer deer were moving. Whitefoot was a splendid animal. That is why he had been chosen for a pack deer. So he continued to trot in the outer circle. Click, 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 sound of the feet of the trotting deer. There is no sound like it in all the animal world. It comes from within the foot as the deer steps. Sometimes it is when the weight is put on the foot, and sometimes when it is lifted from the foot. It is not made by the snapping together of the two parts of the hoof, as long was supposed, even by the herders themselves. The sound comes from within the foot, and just its purpose no one knows. Click, 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 click. Never had Tuktu seen the deer trot in a mill as they were now trotting. It seemed as if each was trying to show his best pace, and each was trying to look his best. They had had plenty of food, and their new coats for the coming winter had grown. All the old hair had fallen, giving way to the new hair. Suddenly, the deer stopped. They stopped and stood motionless. A moment later, they started trotting again. Tuktu had been on the far side at the upper end of the plain, farthest from the curtain of beautiful mist. Now, when she came around, she saw that standing just outside the edge of that many-colored curtain was a magnificent reindeer. He stood motionless, his head held proudly to show to best advantage his wide-spreading antlers with many points. Once more, the herd began to mill. Presently, it stopped as abruptly as before. This time, when Whitefoot brought Tuktu around where she could see, there were two deer standing motionless, one behind the other, at the edge of the beautiful mist. So it went on, until seven deer were standing there. Tuktu knew what it meant. She knew that she was looking at the chosen deer of the Good Spirit. She knew that one more was to be chosen. So far, she had not seen the choosing. Each time she had been on the far side of the herd when it had so abruptly stopped. Perhaps you can guess how her heart was beating with excitement as once more the outer ring of deer took up that fast clicking trot. Would the eighth and last deer be chosen while she was on the far side and could not see? Round and round the deer trotted. Once more, Tuktu was coming in sight of the seven chosen deer. It seemed to Tuktu as if from that colored mist there shot out a flash of light. The deer stopped. Motionless they stood, as if frozen in their tracks. Tuktu held her breath. She saw that the head of every deer was turned toward that shining curtain of colored mist. A ray of light shot out from it. It touched a splendid deer two places ahead of Whitefoot. At its touch, he stepped out from the circle and slowly took his place with the seven standing deer. It was Speedfoot, the finest deer in Kutok's herd. The sound of a silver whistle was heard, and the eight deer began to move forward. Slowly, proudly, they walked. The leader disappeared in the wonderful mist, the second followed, and so on until the last one had vanished. Then once more, the outer deer of the great herd began to mill. Tuktu saw that no longer were the does and fawns standing motionless within that milling circle. They were all headed in one direction, and that was toward a low place in the hills leading out of the valley, a pass out to the great wide prairie. The time had come for the herd to leave the Valley of the Good Spirit. Would Whitefoot insist on going with them, or when they had left the valley, would he take her back to the camp? He was once more bringing her around to the point nearest the cloud of mist, wherein the eight chosen deer had disappeared. Tuktu looked eagerly to see if by any chance she might get one more glimpse of them. And even as she looked, that ray of light shot out once more, and this time it touched Whitefoot. Whitefoot stepped out from the herd and stood motionless. Chapter 8. The Good Spirit. Motionless, facing the curtain of glorious mist, Whitefoot stood. On his back, as motionless, sat Tuktu. Once more the clicking of many feet had begun. The great herd was moving. Tuktu did not turn to look. She was not exactly frightened, but she was filled with a great awe. She felt as if she could not take her eyes from that curtain of mist, even if she would. The clicking back of her grew fainter, then it ceased altogether. Still, Whitefoot stood motionless. Directly in front of Tuktu, the mist began to glow, first faintly pink, then a beautiful rose, and finally a rich, warm red. Tuktu drew a long breath and closed her eyes. When she opened them again, there stood before her one such as she had never seen before. He was short and jolly and round and fat, with a fur-trimmed coat and a fur-trimmed hat. He was dressed all in red. His hair was white, and he wore a long white beard. Never had Tuktu seen such a beard before. Eskimos have beards that are straggly and black. His eyes twinkled like the twinkling of the stars on a frosty night. Around them were many fine wrinkles. They were laugh wrinkles. He was laughing now. He laughed, ha ha, and he laughed, ho ho. Hello, little girl, he cried, hello. What are you doing alone up here? Have you come in search of your straying deer? Poor Tuktu, she couldn't find her tongue. She knew who this must be. She knew that this must be the good spirit whom no one had ever seen. She felt that she ought to slip from Whitefoot's back and bow herself at the good spirit's feet, but she couldn't move. No, sir, she couldn't move. When at last she could find her tongue, all she could do was to whisper, "Are you the good spirit?" Those eyes looking at her in such a kindly way twinkled more than ever, and all the little laugh wrinkles around them grew deeper. He began to shake all over. He shook and shook, and he laughed so merrily that presently Tuktu herself began to laugh. She couldn't help it. It was catching. Yes, sir, it was catching. "Ho, ho," said he, "my dear Tuktu, it may be I am that to you. I hope I am. It seems to me that nothing could much nicer be. But elsewhere all the great world round, wherever there are children found, I'm known as Santa Claus, my dear, or else perchance of me you hear, as old Saint Nick, who once a year, with pack and sleigh and wondrous dear, to little folk who have been good, and done those things that children should, brings Christmas Day the books and toys, that always gladden girls and boys. But when the Christmas season ends, I hasten here to where my friends, the fairies, elves, and busy gnomes, for countless years have made their homes. Ho, 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 you are my dear, the first who ever ventured here." It was such a jolly voice, and those eyes twinkled so, and he shook all over so when he laughed, that Tuktu no longer had the slightest fear. "If you please, good Santa," said she, "I have never heard of Christmas. What is Christmas?" Santa's face sobered. No longer was the twinkle in his eyes, nor the laugh in the wrinkles around them. All the lines softened from his face, and it became very beautiful. Simply, so that Tuktu could fully understand, he explained that Christmas is the season of loving thought. It is the season when self is forgotten, and the desire of each is to make others happy. It was a wonderful story that he told her, a wonderful story of how all through the long years he had carried Christmas joy to the boys and girls of all the great world. He told her how, all the year through, the fairies and elves and trolls and gnomes were busy down in his valley, hidden by the wondrous many-colored mist, making the things which he was to take on his yearly journey to make glad the hearts of little children. He explained how it grieved him when sometimes he could leave nothing, because a little girl or a little boy had not been good. He told her how the spirit of love was abroad throughout all the great world in the Christmas season, and how those who do for and give to others are the ones in whom the Christmas spirit lives all the year through, and who thus find the greatest happiness. "It is not in receiving, my dear," said he, "but in giving in love you will find to be that fullness of joy and that sweet content for the beautiful Christmas season meant." "And does no one give to you, kind Santa?" Tuktu asked a little breathlessly. You should have heard Santa Claus laugh then. Indeed, you should have heard him laugh. You should have seen his eyes twinkle. "Every year I receive the greatest gift in all the great world," said he. "And what is that?" whispered Tuktu. "The love of little children," replied Santa Claus. Not in all the great world is there any gift to compare with the love of little children, and it is mine, all mine, every Christmas.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information, to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes, and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle found its place in history and has come to a final stop.